Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
The Bible tells us in Isaiah 64 and 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So there's absolutely nothing good inside of us whatsoever apart from Christ. Paul also drove this home to the churches that he preached at in Galatia. Listen what he wrote them in Galatians 2 and 16. He told them, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Again, he's driving it home, the whole fact about it. It's not your law, it's not nothing you did. And in fact, he didn't even call it their faith. He said it was the faith of Christ that did this. And so it's because of his faith that we have faith in him and justified. So Jesus completely did it all. In fact, in Romans 3:28, the Bible says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of law. So as part of this justification, not only does it make us innocent in the eyes of God, it also gives us, and the key word I told you about was peace. Peace. We all are looking for peace. Now, you may look out on this world and you think, well, this world sure isn't. I mean, it's in turmoil, and it sure is. Because the world's not looking for peace. But friends, we are looking for peace today. The Christian today knows that he has peace with God. That don't mean that our thoughts are always peaceful and everything's just lovely and wonderful and there's never a problem. That's not what that means, having peace. What that means is there's no longer a declaration of war between you and God. Did you know if you're not saved, you're at war with God? And the worst part is, he's at war with you if you're lost today. You don't belong to him. Some people say, we're all children of God. No, you are not. If you're not saved, you are not a child of God. You're a child of the devil. Just like Jesus told the Pharisees that were unbelievers, you're a child of the devil. You're father of the devil, father of all lies. And so we are at war with God if we're not saved. And listen, friends, in Romans 5, 8 through 10, the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified, there's that word again, by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What wrath? God's wrath. We're not concerned about the world's wrath. We're concerned about God's wrath. Be more concerned about that one that can destroy both your soul and body. The world can't destroy your soul, but God can. For if when we were enemies, it goes on to say. Do you see that? Romans 5 and 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Yes, my dear friend, before you were saved, you were God's enemy. Even at 6 years old, before I got saved, I was the enemy of God. A little rebel, a little rebellious sinner. And for you unsaved people that may be listening this today, whether you're in this building right now or whether you're listening by some other means, you are God's enemy if you are not saved. And you're at war with him and he's at war with you. Romans 1 and 18 says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Do you see that? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And you think that all these people are getting by with what they're doing today. You know, we look around and see all this wickedness going on, this sin, this evil practices of men today, and you think, boy, they're getting by with everything, scot-free. No, they're not. I want you to know that God's wrath is upon them. There'll be justification made. There'll be repercussions for all sin. Ephesians 5 and 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. James 4 and 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The last person you want as your enemy is God. You can have the meanest, awfulest man on the face of this earth, your enemy, and he's nothing compared to being God's enemy. If God's against you, you don't have a chance. So whether you like it or not, if you're not saved, you are God's enemy and God's at war with you. God's at war with all sin. He hates sin. He hates sin so much that he created a place specially for those who will not be saved. Those that he wants to pour his wrath out upon, he created this place. Now, the Bible it tells us, he indicated that it was created for the devil and his angels, those rebellious angels, but it also says it enlarges itself daily. Why does it do that? Because more and more people drop off the face of this earth in death without receiving Christ, without ever getting saved, without this justification. They drop off dead as an enemy of God. And if they do that, then his wrath must be appeased. And the only way they can do that is if they go to hell and burn for eternity as God pours out his wrath forever on sin. Forever is a very long time, friends. So what does this mean? Well, if we believe in the Lord Jesus, we believe in the gospel, call on his name, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. Simply, that just means we recognize we're a lost sinner. We recognize the fact that Jesus is the only one that can save us. We believe in what he did, taking our sin debt, and we receive him as our Savior. And so that puts peace between us and God. It's because his Son is the one that appeased his wrath. You understand that, right? Where the lost sinner goes to hell and God pours his wrath out on them in hell, that person that trusts Jesus, I want you to know that wrath that God poured out to appease for your sin, he poured out on Jesus on the cross. That's where God spent his wrath on. Colossians 1:19 through 22 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him," meaning Jesus, "should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Whew, what great truths we have here. And what a mark on man to understand that we didn't have anything to do with this, but that God chose his own son to pour his wrath out, his own son's blood. It says his peace came through the blood of his cross. That pleased God when that happened. That means it pleased his wrath. That don't mean he was happy and giddy. Oh, look, my son's paying for all the sins of the world. That makes me... No, that wasn't that. It means he was pleased that his wrath now was fixed because his son had paid for that. There was payment for that. One of the greatest passages of Scripture in all the Bible, which is my very favorite, Isaiah 53. Turn there, please, and let's look at this. This gives us such detail. And this happened so far before Christ ever hung on the cross. But God knew that was the plan of salvation and appeasement and justification and salvation and glorification. All this was involved in what happens in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, the Bible says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." Listen to this next part. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He is taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he's poured out of his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus, the one that did all this, he made intercession for the transgressors. You know who the transgressors are, right? Those bad people. Those sinful people. Those wicked people. You know, go look in the mirror. It was us. By his stripes, not your stripes. You wasn't beaten for it. He was. He paid your penalty. That should have been you. It should have been me that had to hang on that cross and give every drop of our blood. Should have been us. Praise God, it wasn't us. Praise God, there was one righteous. One. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that paid for our sins. He's the one that justifies us. He's the one that it pleased God to bruise. And that, my friend, is how we're justified and find peace with God, through the shed blood of Jesus. So some will ask, well, if we were justified when we were saved and all of our sins a slate wiped clean, then how do we stay that way? And so we have a group of people today that believe that once you get saved, if you sin again, then you're lost. And that if you were to die in that condition, you would go to hell and have to pay for your own sins. No, Jesus died once for sin. One time. Your salvation, when you receive Christ as your Savior, it's eternal, it's everlasting. He's not taking it away. He never kicks you out of his house. You're not disowned. You become a son. You become an heir. You don't get that taken back from you. It's eternally. And so the whole reason Paul was even having to write about the doctrine of justification is the Jews did not want to accept the fact that this one-time thing paid for the sins and made them justified and brought them peace with God. They wanted to keep doing all the sacrifices. Oh, okay, well, some of them believed in Christ and believed what he did, but yet they still felt that they needed to continue on killing the lamb and bringing it before the priest and doing all that and keeping the law to keep themselves saved. That's not what the Bible teaches, friends. Listen, if Christ's death on the cross was not good enough for all and for all of eternity, then it was not good enough at all. But praise God it was. It was good enough for all for eternity. Listen, a lot of them, you know, Christ is on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. That is enough. And some people believe that it takes us doing something. And when you believe that you're stripping God of His power, of His grace, of His mercy, of His authority, you're stripping Him of all that. And you're trampling on what Jesus has done for us. When Jesus hung on that cross and shed every drop of His blood, the Bible tells us this in John 19:30. Jesus said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished, completed. He didn't say to be continued. But it's finished.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.